feels so good to be podcasting me and you.
I know, it's been a minute since we've podcasted me and you. I mean, we've had the opportunity to have the coolest guests on the podcast lately, so we never want to say no, but man, it's just so fun to be girlfriends.
It's just so fun to go in deep with you. You know what I'm saying?
All the time. Now, I heard a rumor that you were going to present your outfit to me once we were on the podcast.
Yes. Well, I think our listeners should know, usually, because I only live a few blocks from you, I would just walk over. But because it's a pandemic and it's Saturday and I'm feeling lazy, we're just jumping on Zoom because we all live on Zoom now. But look how cute this is. And I was so excited to show you this cute little blouse and these cute jeans.
Let me describe, friends. It's a little pink flowery, almost like a peplum-y top.
Yep.
Cute. With kind of like layers of fun flair.
Yes. And then like a boot cut jean, and it has like a, like an exposed, I'm showing you my, like an exposed hem at the bottom.
Cute.
Yeah. But if I had come over, I would have put heels on with it
just to dazzle me.
Just to dazzle you. Cause I like to dazzle you.
Well, you'll know I'm wearing, I have a little bun and my cute glasses, and then I have a little jean romper.
I'm obsessed.
But the real highlight of this outfit is my cute French socks.
Oh, with cute little black hearts on them.
They're navy, but they look a little black in this light. But I have little striped navy blue socks with hearts on them.
I won't go all the way to taking off my shoes, but I do have avocados on my socks.
Yes. See, that's who we were meant to be on the planet. I'm a little navy heart and you're a little avocado.
It's so true.
Now, if anyone's listening to this podcast for the first time, we will get to something more exciting than this, but welcome to life in the pandemic.
We are Let's Play the Create Podcast, and Create stands for Community Reclaiming Every Artist's True Expression. Woo! And we are here to talk about all things creative, all things spiritual, about how you take what is inside of you and bring it to the world. And boy, do we ever want that thing that you got inside of you.
Oh, man. And I do think we're in, I think, week 9 or something.
I can't believe you count. I'm so impressed.
This is a loose guess. Depending on where you are in the world, where you're listening from, you may be in different stages of this than we are. But we're in New York City. We are in it. And so we keep having our stay-at-home order extended and extended. So I think we still have at least a couple weeks to go. But we've been in this. I know I flew back from Paris on March 11th. And so for me, I quarantined right away because I had been traveling. So for me, this is going into kind of like the 9th week of this moment in time, which has been really, really, really healing and brought up a lot of stuff. And I think that everyone has transitioned through these weeks in very, very different ways. And there's been waves of moments where it actually feels maybe really good that the world kind of stops. It feels like this great equalizer. And there's time when you can just sit and reflect and take break and do things that were on your to-do list that were never getting done. And then there's also been the tremendous fear that's come from jobs and finances and, you know, trying to get checks and not getting them and things being closed and not knowing how to manage getting things that feel essential. There's also been, you know, if you are an essential worker or living with an essential worker, there's the thing of your kids, if you have them, not being in school. There's the thing of all of a sudden becoming a teacher and a homeschool parent. And there's the thing of being quarantined with family members or being quarantined totally alone and having now gone weeks on end without any physical touch. So there's been a whole can of stuff to look at, to uncover, to feel, to unravel. And so now there's actually an opportunity where we've been in that playground for so long that there is an opportunity to, at this point, start having some different conversations, regardless of what this experience has been for us thus far, and regardless of what it will continue to be for us.
Yeah. And those conversations are about, I think we've been in this long enough now that it's taken us to a place inside. So everyone has started to get the medicine of what this time has brought them. So you see people starting to share about, oh, I'm really watching this part of my healing come up. Oh, I'm really hearing this kind of knocking. And Rob Bell and Kristen Bell did a podcast recently on the deep knowing. And I feel like one of the things that occurs when the world is pulled away is this ability to listen to that part of you that knows about you, the part of you that's always there, that's always broadcasting, that's always talking to you, that's always leading you. But often our lives become so busy that we can't even hear it. Mm-hmm. And so it's an opportunity to get really still. And I think one of the things that first happens when you start to get still and you pull away the world is the pain that might have been inside of you that hasn't been processed or listened to starts to get really loud.
Yeah.
Right? There are things that want to be witnessed. They want to be loved. And so I think what we saw in some of the first couple of weeks is like just feeling feelings that had been sitting there for a while, that had been asking to be felt, to be loved, to be seen. And that can be a really intense process, especially if a lot of it's built up. It's like not going to the dentist for a while, and then all of a sudden you're like, I have so many cavities, right? Because I hadn't been taking care of my teeth, and I might not have been taking care of my emotional body or the deep needs of my soul. There also I've seen, and I'm sure you have as well, is people talking about coming to terms with relationships they had in their lives that they had to get honest about just weren't working. That this time has served to be kind of a magnifying glass to really put a spotlight on, oh, here's what is not working in my life. And maybe for some people, it's not a relationship. It's like, oh, I'm really coming to terms that what I've been doing with my life is not working for me. Or maybe the city is not working for me, or whatever the situation is. It's like this, it turns up the heat on everything so that we can take a moment and go, huh, what is life telling me about my life? And where now do I have the opportunity to make some changes and make some choices in different ways?
Yeah. And I think that so many things have become really clear to me during this time. I can see how all of the things that I love to do to not face myself still wanted to show up, right? Like the overachiever in me wants to overachieve at everything I do, including quarantine, right? So let me be the person who comes out of quarantine with a long list of accomplishments, right? And how I had moments of honoring that. And then there were moments of going, oh, you're honoring the achiever and not honoring the inner listening. So some moments of no workout today, resting, going deep. So I really had to play a game with myself. Like almost for everything that I do and accomplish, I have to make sure that I'm balancing that by doing some spiritual healing or extra meditating or sleeping in a little bit more, right? Like playing the game with myself to make sure that things are staying in balance, because everything that was there before is just going to get bigger in pandemic, right? Any little addictive behavior is just going to get bigger. Anything you want to avoid, the avoidance is going to get bigger. Any anger you have inside is just going to get bigger. Any fear you have about money is just going to get bigger. Any over attachment to your worth being in your job is going to get bigger when the job goes away. So there's really something in a pattern that I noticed that a lot of people who have had a really focused relationship with inner listening, or a focused relationship with what they would call a higher power, seemed to have across the board had a little bit of an easier transition during this time. Mm-hmm. Then, anyone who I've had, conversations with or, you know, been, in communion with, who have been saying like, yeah, that was a part of me that wasn't cultivated. And now it's like having to make up for it real fast. And sometimes I think that's the process of life, that we as spiritual beings in human bodies, we all get to some point where we realize none of us make it out alive. And those of us who have some sort of relationship with that throughout our lives seem to have an easier coping with it than those of us that want to pretend that's not happening. And then at some point it gets really present and you have no choice but to look at that.
Right. And I think often that's where the pain comes from, or the frustration that we have in our lives. Like, I know I've been talking with people who this time has really illuminated for them that there is something inside of them that says, oh, I know I need to shift. I know there's an area in my life that wants to move, that wants to shift. Maybe I don't know how to do it, but that I know that there's something that is out of alignment. And being able to just witness that moment and go, okay, so how do I start to play a little bit differently? And I think the great thing is that because we don't know when this is going to end, we can actually bring the beautiful tool of play to this experiment. So I have this huge amount of time stretching out before me to experiment with my life in a different way. And that can happen. You know, one of my clients has a full family and we're playing games with how to create new ways of interacting with their creativity in a family setting, right? Mm. So you can do that with a family or you can do it on your own. And just side note, I also just want to commend you and say out loud how happy I was today when you called me and you said you were going to go get a cute little coffee and go to the park and listen to Abraham Hicks and sit in the grass. I was so proud of you taking time to be in the sunlight and be in joy.
You know, I have to catch the workaholic in me and go, no, today's a day for getting a little coffee and sitting in the park with my mask on, socially distancing. But, you know, there was that moment to say, how can play and honoring of that listening be a really big priority? And what is it in me? If I came out of the womb only with me and I leave this earth only with me and I spend my whole life with me and a bunch of other shiny objects and humans around me, why does me tend to be the last thing I think about or the last thing I ask? Hey, what do you want to do? Because that's the only part of me that this life is actually about. None of us came out of the womb holding hands with our romantic partner being like, let's do this life together. Like at some point you connect with them, but all of us come in here solo. It's my spirit in this body having an adventure. And at what point do I start telling myself, life has to be a certain way, or I have to have someone to be in love with, or I have to have enough money in the bank. Otherwise, we can't have fun.
Right. I have to be my own romantic partner first. And that means really taking responsibility for the amount of joy I have in my life, the amount of love that I give myself. And, you know, in this time, I've really enjoyed not having a job that is that someone else's creative project. Like as a director, I'm so often hired to raise someone else's creative vision. And what this time has allowed me to do is really tap into my own creative babies and bring them forth into the world. And as you know, one of the things that has been the leading edge insight is that creative vision that we have inside of us that's coming through us, that we are here to be the vessel to bring it forth, has actually come to heal and illuminate us. So it has information for us. So this thing happens if we aren't becoming the space to allow the vision that we have to come through, that means we're not getting the medicine that it has for us. So it has come here to grow, develop, and evolve us. But if we don't show up for the process of birthing it into the world, we miss out. And so I think sometimes the lack of fulfillment that we feel in our lives comes from there's something in me that knows how to develop me, and I'm not showing up to get that thing that I am starving for.
Amen.
And one of the things I'm really excited about, you know, when I work with people and I'm, you know, in my writing classes, is that part of showing up for allowing your vision to come through you means accepting it the way that it starts to come out, which often is imperfect.
Yeah.
So it requires a certain amount of acceptance. So if you sit down to write something, blessing and accepting the way that it shows up on the page, which I'm sure you see when you're working with actors, like that ability just to accept where I am today and my own unique expression without trying to like criticize it or talk bad about it or wish it was different. So that same kind of loving, nurturing voice that I'm trying to develop with myself, right? Mm-hmm. To love and accept myself, I have to develop that kind of nurturing atmosphere for my creative expression as well.
Oh, that is so good, Kristen. And I've had personally the experience of working with you through the beginning of a writing process, and it felt exactly that way. It's like, just give it permission because it has something it wants to do with you. And so many people, whether you're an actor, whether you're a writer, whether you're a painter, whatever your art is, whatever your expression is, so many people say they get stuck in the, well, what if it doesn't do on the planet what it's supposed to? Or what if people don't like it? Or what if it's not good enough? And it's like, you're asking the wrong question, so your art actually never gets created, because your art is actually an answer to your own growth and healing. It has nothing to do with the outside world, right?
Yes.
So if you're asking the question of, what if this art isn't good enough for the world? Then you're just already off track with why the art was given to you. The art was given to you so that you could heal and grow and evolve yourself through your relationship with your own art. What happens on the outside, and this is something that a quote that I wrote down earlier as you and I were talking, that it was just hit me and it felt so profound. What happens in the world on the outside is that the outside world also, in watching the what has happened and watching the transformation of what the art has done to me, it gets a gift.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what it thinks of the gift, if it likes the gift, if it doesn't get the gift, something got created on the planet. So in the same way, I can walk out to Central Park and say, ooh, I love those yellow tulips. Oh, those red dandelions aren't doing it for me. Right, whatever. That's cool.
Yes.
And it wasn't created so that I would like it. It was created so it would have a process with itself through being created.
Yep.
And the fact that I walk by and like it or not is totally irrelevant to its existence.
Exactly right. And I, you know, I think of the painter, the novice painter who really wants to paint. And I say that as I have canvases behind me, who puts some paint on the canvas and it doesn't look like the way they see it in their head. And then they go, ah, I don't like how it looks. I'm not doing that anymore. And in doing that, what we're really saying is, this isn't satisfying what my ego wants this expression to be, because I'm looking for this artistic expression to give me some sort of identity. Mm. As opposed to, there is a creative expression coming through me that I am just the vehicle for, and I am learning about who and what this expression is as it comes through me. So, you know, I love Dr. Shafila. Am I saying her name right?
Dr. Shafali.
And she talks so much about, you know, with kids, that often adults want their children to be a certain way to justify their own ego's expectations of what they think is lovable, acceptable, appropriate, all these things. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, they're not creating a space of unconditional love for their children, right? Mm-hmm. And they're doing that because there's a way that they are not approving of themselves. So the parent themselves has been judging themselves or calling certain feelings that they have inappropriate or their reaction. So because they can't accept themselves, they can't accept their child. And I think the same thing happens with our art. Because we want ourselves to be seen in a certain light, we try to demand that of our art. The moment that we can actually fall in love with whatever is happening in this creative expression, that love that we start to have for our art starts to heal us. So
yes.
This creative play, and the more that we can get loose, the more that we can have fun, the more that we can allow it to be this, like, to be silly, to be messy, to be wild, it gives us permission to resurrect those abandoned places inside of us.
Yes, because it's like, okay, there's the unloved parts of ourselves, the unworthy parts of ourselves. And we say, well, I don't want to make a piece of art that is unworthy, like I'm unworthy, so I better not make any art. But what we don't get is the making of the art will prove that we are not unworthy. Like the making of the art will heal the part in yourself that thinks it's not good enough.
Yes.
So you'll get to see yourself through the creation of this project as a perfectly imperfect, messy, worthy of love being.
Yes. And because the way that human beings are self-healing and the universe is self-correcting, like we've seen in our environment that when we do certain things, the environment knows how to heal itself. And just like you can see documentaries that show that when a human being starts to put the right stuff into their bodies and gets rest, you know, that the body starts to heal itself. In the same way, when we create an environment of unconditional love with our creativity, not only does it start to heal us, but the art itself starts to evolve and become really exciting. Like when we fully give it permission, like we no longer try to control it, we allow it to do what it wants to do, it will start to leave us in awe of what it actually is.
Yes. It's like a child that feels judged.
Yes.
Or a child that feels like it's not good enough.
Yes.
It's going to be quiet. It's going to stay in the corner. It's not going to reveal itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if the child is just like, you're awesome. Do what you want to do. Let it be messy. Do whatever. That child is going to show you its magnificence.
Yes.
In the space of permission to be messy, to be loud, to be whatever, its genius is going to reveal itself to you. But if it feels like whatever it does, you're not going to like it or you're going to judge it, it's going to start hiding itself away. So we talk to a lot of people about get into that inner listening of what your dream is telling you. And a lot of people say, it's not telling me anything. And it's because the dream was trying so hard to get your attention for so long. And for so long, it was dismissed. It was told to shut up. It was told, no, 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 I'm not doing that. So it just started being quiet. And so it takes a little bit of time to build the trust. And no, it's okay to come out. It's okay. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to be mean to you. I promise. You can come out and tell me what you have to say. And it's in that place when the creativity starts to feel like, oh, Natalie's not going to judge me. Natalie's not going to tell me I'm not good enough. Oh, I just get to play. And always with acting, with writing, with relationships, always when you don't put pressure on it having to look perfect, it gets really good.
Yes. And our art has a way of being a mirror for us. It's loving that way. So I like to say like our writing problems, our life problems show up as our writing problems. So when we start to look at what it is that wants to be created through us and start to ask it questions about what it wants to be, what it wants to say about that. You can even use it like you would use like a card deck. You know, when you draw a card, like an angel card, and you'd say, talk to me about my relationships, talk to me about my prosperity, and you can pull a card. You can start to ask those kind of questions to your creativity, to the thing that you are creating, and it will start to answer you in unfathomable ways. And that's where I start to get really excited is when we start to have this kind of like a shamanistic relationship with our art. We start to say, I know you are like straight from my highest self, and you know what you want to do with my life. May I lean into you and listen to you so that you can reveal to me. And the cool thing about our art and our creativity is it comes from the deepest place of love within us. So where we find our heart turned on, motivated, excited, that's always the indication of where there is something in us that wants to be created. Right? Like, I always think of you and your Christmas movie. Like, you are so in love with Christmas that, of course, a Christmas movie had to come out of you.
Of course. It's almost done.
I know. I'm so excited.
But this is actually really interesting that we also start to, I think there was a certain moment in all of our lives where we move from the time of being a child is over and now it's time to be an adult.
Yeah.
And that same transition happens when you take what you love and it moves from being this thing I do as a hobby to the thing I do as my vocation or as my sacred mission on the planet. And all of a sudden it's like, it there's a tightness in it. There's like a responsibility around it, right? And I do think that sometimes we get so focused on it has to be good and I have to look good and otherwise I'm not doing it. You know, there's all this like pressure on it. Pressure is the feeling I feel. And it just made me think that I had this really silly audition this week, which you know all about because you played my director and my camera woman. And so basically like my agent called me and they were like, listen, it's kind of complex. Like what is required for this audition is it's required that you shoot outside in this particular scene, in this particular scenario, and there can't be people in the background and you have to have golf clubs and you have to have a golf outfit. And you have to have someone who's actually like really good shooting it. And it has to be shot in this quality. And it was like this long laundry list. So I could feel the thing in my body that all of a sudden wanted in a certain way to start creating problems. Like there's so many obstacles. This is so tough. This is so hard. And like you only have 24 hours to do it. And but the bigger part of me was like, game on. This is going to be the most fun ever. I'm like texting Kristen. I'm texting like friends I know who have these props. I'm like, and before you knew it, it's like all the angels surrounded around my energy of how fun I was going to make it. And everything was a yes. Everything was an open door. Oh, I have an outfit for you. Oh, I have clubs for you. Oh, I'll drive them to your house and drop them off. Oh, Kristen's available. And then I even called you and was like, today's really sunny. Do you want to go do it right now? And you were like, yeah, let's do it. And like, we went out in Central Park. We were so silly. We were playing music. We were laughing. I was literally dancing in the middle of Central Park, like silly, crazy joy. And we had the most fun. We were laughing. We had like our cute coffees. I had this hilarious outfit. People were literally like staring, like, what are these two crazy people doing? And we had so much fun. We had so much fun doing it that all of a sudden, like, if it was good or not good was like, so the last, like I wasn't even thinking about that. It was almost so fun to just do it that even if I went, oh, none of the footage is usable, we're not even going to send it in, it still would have been the highlight of my day.
Well, and that's the ticket. When it becomes that enjoyable, when the process is so much fun, and that takes a bit of courting and an allowing and a relaxing. Like if we had shown up to shoot that audition and you were like, I want this thing that, and like there was like a tightness or a rigidness or a controlling of it.
Or a stress.
A stress. It wouldn't have been fun. But what was fun is that we were actually there to have a good time and we were willing to be silly and we were willing to be dumb and we didn't care what people thought about us and we were laughing so hard. So when we can take that approach with our art and realize, oh, the universe gave me this artistic expression as a gift for me. It wants to be here so that I can have so much fun with it. That's the whole point. And allow ourselves to get the gift of how fun it is to make things.
Mm.
And that is what like evokes the deepest stuff. We're all so hungry to be lifted, right?
Yeah.
We're all so hungry for the place that art takes us, but it has to do its work on us first, you know?
Right. And if what you want is if you're making something to put out in the world, you know, if you're writing a script, if you're painting a painting, and if what you want is to invoke deep feeling, or you want to invoke a lifting of humanity, then if you're not bringing that to the project itself as it's being created, then it can't bring that forward into the world after you're done with it. Like it can only, the energy that's infused in the thing goes into the thing when the thing goes out.
That's exactly that Marianne Williamson quote that I love, that everything we do is infused with the energy with which we do it.
That's it.
And part of the fun that I've had recently with some of my writing projects is like, literally like enjoying getting witchy, you know? Oh, I'm going to put out my little oils. Oh, I'm going to burn some incense. I'm going to evoke an environment where I'm just having fun bringing this thing to life. And part of my goal is how much fun can I have as I'm doing it? And that's what's right for me and the project. I have a writer I work with and she likes to write in her lingerie. She likes to like put perfume on and write in her lingerie and make it like a seduction.
So yes, that's what please. She's working on.
Right. Doesn't that sound like the most fun ever? So we can evoke whatever energy we want and realize I am someone who transfers energy. So the energy I'm evoking in the process is getting baked right into what it is I'm doing. And then as I'm creating this environment, I'm also letting it do the process on me. One of the things that's been my leading edge of growth, and I've felt spirit talking to me about really deeply recently, is about personal responsibility, which sounds a little bit heavy, but it's personal responsibility as it relates to the vision of my life. And one of the things I've always loved when Oprah talks about it, she talks about when she was a little girl and she memorized this like poem that said, I am the captain of my ship, the master of my fate, or something. I'm paraphrasing horribly, but she had learned this little poem that she always came back to, this like feeling of, I am the captain of my ship, which is, I am in charge of my life. And so I feel like the conversation the universe has been having with me is, am I taking 100% responsibility for my vision, which means for the thing that I am the most in love with? So in a way, am I fully claiming that which I love? And how this show can show up for me is, where's my life filled with things that I'm kind of like lukewarm about? And there's like actually a Bible passage where Jesus talks about like, if something's lukewarm, spit it out of your mouth.
Ah.
Right? So in a way, don't hold on to the things that you're like, about. And that can show up in career. It can show up in relationships. It can show up. Oh, I love the Marie Kondo of only hold on to the things that spark joy.
Yes.
And that is taking personal responsibility for your vision. It's saying, I'm going to be true to my heart. And I'm only going to fill my life with the things that are a hell yes.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people listening might be thinking, well, yeah, but there's a lot of things in my life that are not a hell yes, but I have to be responsible to them anyway. And, you know, when we talk in psychology and peak performance, we say everything needs to come from a reverse engineering from your vivid vision. So you start with your vision. You start with who I want to be on the planet, who I was born to be, what I came here to produce. Like an apple tree produces apples. What am I here to make? Who am I here to be? What am I here to do? I'm here to be an expression of joy. I am here to fall deeply in love with everything I do. I am here to create this script. I am here to, do this thing, whatever it is. And so you start from that vision. And then you reverse engineer to say, every single goal I have must serve the vision. Otherwise, I'm just creating stress, distraction, sabotage. So, but you could argue this for like, well, what does taking out the trash have to do with this? So my whole thing is, well, a part of my vivid vision for my life is having a home that I love, that feels creative, that feels like an oasis, that feels like a sanctuary. Then one of the goals that will serve that vision is taking my trash out. So is taking the trash out something I can't wait to get out of bed and do? No, of course not. But it's worthy because it's in service of my responsibility to my vision. So there's many things that aren't going to feel like joy, but if they're in service to my vision, they stay. All the things that don't feel like joy, that are in service to a lesser vision, that are in service to someone else's vision, that are in service to something that has nothing to do with my vision, those are the parts I got to clean house on. And I love this Tony Robbins thing. He says he always does this when he hears his ego going crazy about like, you should do this or you should do this or that. He just stops and goes, I decide. I decide. I'm the boss. Stop yelling at me, ego. I decide if what you're saying is true for me. I decide what I do. I decide that I act out of my integrity and not out of my fear. I decide. And so sometimes for me, it's like a really awesome thing when I just find myself being like, oh, I'm in victim. I don't want to do it. And I stop myself and go, I decide. I decide to not be that person right now.
Yeah.
I decide. What's my vision? What am I serving? Is this email I'm responding to serving my vision? No, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Delegate it. or get rid of it. You know, is all the stuff in my home serving my vision? No, get rid of it. I decide. I'm responsible because I was the only one that was given this specific and vivid vision.
Yes.
No one else received it.
Yes.
So if I am not the responsible parent to it, the responsible steward of it, it doesn't get to be here.
Yeah. And I love that you use that word victim, because I think what can happen is often we can get into this place with life where we feel like life is happening to us. The world is like acting out on us and we are the victim of what is happening. And in doing so, we negate how powerful we are.
Yeah.
And you and I were talking earlier today and we talked about the difference of realizing that you are the space where the world wants to come through you as opposed to the world acting. Will you write that? Will you read this what you wrote
down? I totally mentioned it earlier and then never said it. So this is just what I wrote down. This is just a quote from Kristen and I. I am the world that creation manifests in. I am not in a world where creation is manifesting. So let me explain. Most of us think, I'm just sitting here in this world, and in this world, things are happening. So I'm in a world right now where COVID is happening. I'm in a world right now where spring is happening. I'm in a world right now where, you know, being single or being married or being whatever is happening, right? And we somehow feel like we're witnessing what is happening out in the world. What we don't realize is you are the world. You are the place where everything is happening. You are the place where all of your thoughts, all of your feelings, all of your actions, all of your beliefs, all everything, you are the place where everything is happening. And everything you see out there in the world is a reaction to what you created.
Mm-hmm.
That you are not a reactor to circumstance or to environment. You are the creator of the circumstance and the environment that the world is constantly reacting to. You are in the driver's seat. You are the world. You are not the witness to what is happening in the world. You are it. So you say what goes. You say what shows up in this world. Now, is that to say, okay, well, I can decide COVID doesn't show up in my world? Well, you're part of a collective. And there is a collective consciousness that is all in agreement to things. And whatever we're all in agreement in, that's what manifests. But you absolutely can take a stand to say, how do I, as the world, show up every day, no matter what's happening out there?
Yeah.
And that's where you have infinite power that many of us haven't fully taken the reins on yet.
Yes. You know, August Gold often says that prayer is answered through us. So if you think of yourself as that world where answers are manifested through, so you're the space, you're the creative force, you're the vessel through which a life, a vision can manifest. You're creating the space and openness so that something can animate from the soul of your being out into the world. But when you are in victim consciousness, and like, well, the vision I get in my head is someone with their arms like folded going, like, everything wrong always happens to me. How come I don't have what I want? I'm frustrated that it doesn't look like da-da-da-da-da. You've actually like closed yourself off from from the answers to be able to come from the inside of you.
Mm.
So what we can do during this time is really think about opening up, and that the answers that we're looking for to manifest in our life are already inside us. So that vision that wants to manifest, that wants to come through and radically change our life, is inside. And our job is to get still enough and quiet enough and receptive enough and in the feel good space so that we can connect with that vision and then ask it for the next step. And then as we create space, like just like if we're writing a script, we just have to write the next word. If we're painting a picture, what's the next, you know, piece of paint on the canvas? If we're doing a business, what's the next step that we have to take to usher it in? The vision always carries with it a next step.
Yeah.
And so as we create the space where we say, I take 100% responsibility for this vision and doing my part with it, then the universe co-creating with us will start to dance with us in a really fun and exciting way. And I think a lot of people are hearing that call from someplace deep within, because I know in my heart, all of us are a piece of the answer. Mm. And the reason it's important to give birth to the vision is if all of us together collectively give birth to the vision inside of us, we're all giving birth to collective healing, answers, solutions that we all need. And so we need everyone tuning into their unique vision. So it's their unique healing that they have to give to the planet. And it's going to heal you. And then once it's healed you, once it's done its process on you, then it can be of service to the whole.
Amen. I mean, that really makes me think, I don't know who said it, but there was some sort of post or something on Facebook recently that said, part of the reason that you stay home and take care of yourself right now is you're one less person draining the hospital staff, or you're one less person who's consuming. You're one less person who is in a position of needing to take. And anyone who's in that position of needing to take, that's what the care is there for. Yes, take it and let it be given to you. Be given the care, be given the ventilator, be given the medicine, be given whatever you need. And then for the rest of us that are not in that position, our responsibility is to do everything we can to not put ourselves in a position where there's something we need to take, where our gift is keeping ourselves well, is keeping ourselves healthy. That becomes a gift to everybody, right? So you take whatever precautions you take to keep yourself well as a gift to the rest of the world. In the same way, you bringing yourself into spiritual wellness, spiritual wholeness, by digging deep in yourself, by asking those things you don't want to ask, by looking deep into those projects that want to be created through you, by looking deep at what wants to be birthed through you, by you doing that process, you are giving. You are giving to the collective. You are giving a gift. The gift of you being whole and healthy is bigger than you can possibly know.
Yeah. And I feel like a tool that we can just offer up on this podcast today is, just like you and I love to talk about a morning practice. Like,
oh man.
It, like, you know, 101, showing up in the morning just to commune, spiritual soul food, in whichever way you see fit with the higher power of your choice. In the same way, creating space for that vision. Mm-hmm. However you feel called to bring that vision into the world. And the one thing I want to offer that I feel like has been really helpful for me is when I do those two things first in the day, just like how we would pay ourselves first, when it's time for a morning practice, a spiritual practice, and then right after that, showing up for my art, my creativity, my dream, my vision. And it can be little. It can literally be, I do a 10-minute spiritual practice and then 10 minutes on my art. And that's what I do, because that's what I got. It doesn't have to be a lot. We're just wanting to create a space of opening and a sense of consistency so that something can grow.
It almost makes me think, like, if you know, in our friendship, if I just went, you know, 3 months at a time and never talked to you, you wouldn't be mad at me, but the friendship would deteriorate.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the same relationship we have where we text each other every day and say, how's your day? How are you? I'm thinking of you. There's a very different relationship in just the small, sometimes you and I don't see each other. We're in different countries. We're in different, sometimes we don't see each other for months on end, but there's still that daily check-in of, I'm thinking of you. How are you? How's your heart? And that is all it takes to create that maintenance of that relationship. So if you have something burning inside of you that you want to create or that you want to do, or that you know there's a vision that you are meant to be responsible to, you don't have to do the whole vision in a day. That's why you were given a whole life to do it. But that, don't underestimate the power of just a few minutes every day, just a few minutes to check in and say to your dream, hey, what would you want today? is there anything I can do for you today? Is there anything you need today? And I think a really nice place to start might be, I've been doing some journal questions recently that have been really helpful for me, and there's just a certain kind of frame around it. But a really nice question might be almost as if your dream was talking to you, and you could write as if you were your dream talking to yourself, and you could just finish this sentence. You become responsible to me by, and just finish the sentence and just see what your dream tells you. You become responsible to me by getting more sleep. You become responsible to me by turning your phone off a little more often. You become responsible to me by not binging so much Netflix. And, you know, you become responsible to me by using your peak hours. You know, your peak hours are between 7 and 10 a.m. by using some of those hours for time with me. Like, whatever it is, and your dream will tell you how you can start to become responsible to it.
Yeah, the dream knows. And the dream knows what it wants next.
Yeah.
And the dream is an entity all to itself. It's spirit. And it has direction, and it has force, and it's loving. And it's come to be the answer. And so one of the great things about this time is, like, as we feel cut off from the world, realize it's not out there. It's never been out there.
You are the world. It's in you.
Yeah.
It's in you. And if you guys are down and you're like, yeah, there's something I want to do. There's something I want to create. There's something I want to be in relationship with in a different way. Then we have ideas for you.
We definitely do.
The first idea is, for those of you that were not attending our Create Live classes, Kristen and I created something called the Epic Relationship Series. And this is a series of videos, and it's like 9 hours of video content that you can do in small bite-sized pieces. You can do like 10 minutes a day on these different modules. We have like so many modules. I think there's something like 30 modules or something.
That's
silly.
That's right. I just got an email today from a girl who is doing the relationship course, and she said the whole section on the dream hangover knocked me out.
Oh, the dream hangover is so good.
It's such a good one, right?
Such a great one. So if you're interested, we have this course deeply, deeply discounted for you during COVID time. So you can go on our website, you can check it out. It's called the Epic Relationship Series. It is deeply discounted for you right now. And if you want to start exploring what your relationships are with your dream, with yourself, what your sabotages are, what your unconscious blocks are, how you can take that out into the world, into your creative projects, into your relationship with other people, conscious communication, we really cover everything. And that is so available for you if you want to do a deep dive.
Yes. And if we also have, if you haven't looked it up before, we have a whole series that we did on the pathway to your dream. So that is like raising a dream up your energetic anatomy, up your chakra system. And that is it's a kick-ass one. If you feel like you have a dream and you don't know where to start. Also, I am teaching during this pandemic time my online writing class, which has helped so many people write their book, their screenplay, their musical, their novel,
their memoir.
Yeah. If you have a story inside of you that you're like, this thing's burning, I don't know why I have this resistance or this block, or it's hard for me to sit down, or I need to heal my relationship with writing, or I need a group, a community, some accountability. I think in my June class, there's only 2 spots left, which might be gone by the time this podcast airs. And then I have a July class coming up. So you can email me at hengilove@gmail.com, and I'll give you all the details for the July writing class.
It is so good. When we were in Bali together, Kristen took me through some of her exercises in this writing course, and it was just tears and revelations. And even if you think you're not a writer, it's like before you know it, 1 hour in, you're writing. It was miraculous. It's a really special, specific process that you have that is different than anything I've seen before in all my years in this industry. So I'm really excited that you're bringing this to the world.
Thanks, Nat. Nat, what do you got going on for us?
If there's any actors out there listening, I have this really, really, really cool class that I teach, and I teach it usually two or three times a year. And I decided to add a July class because, you know, what else do we have to do? And I'm really designing this class this round really specifically around self-tapes. So this is my activated actor technique, which is really about taking what is inside of you and bringing it forth in the scene to make it super specific and super personal and super you, so that never there's this feeling of you not booking something because you're not talented enough. The only reason you wouldn't book it is because you're too short or too tall. That's my method. That, you know, we just make it that you're always bringing 100% of you to the table, and you learn how to do it really unapologetically, and getting out of that people pleasing of trying to get it right and just going into the authentic way of acting and performing. And specifically during quarantine time and while Hollywood is in shutdown, specifically me working with you on self-tapes, and even in a one-on-one process where we take your tapes and really take them into the congruence of who you really are and what you actually came to offer as an actor and an artist. So it's a really exciting process. The June class sold out really, really quick. So I added a July class. And if you're interested, you can email me, natalielynroy@gmail.com. And that's LYNN for Lynn. So fun.
Oh, so much fun.
It's so fun to play with people. It's fun to be alive, even in this.
Even in this, and in this, there is life that is wanting to express itself.
Yeah.
So it's so fun just to show up and go, what is the life right now that wants to express itself through me?
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
Like our cute outfits today.
Oh man. I love that we both had the hit to get cute outfits without even talking to each other. We're listening to the same channel.
I know. All the sun is calling for it.
Man, oh man. Well, happy Saturday, Kristen.
Happy Saturday, Natalie.
Happy whatever day. I think it's going to be Wednesday when this podcast drops. So happy Wednesday, friends. We love you. We hope you hang out with us more and more. And we can't wait to see what you create. We can't wait to see you take responsibility for who you came to be.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing, or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?